Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Jet fans, Giant fans, let's all hold hands together. We are living in a football hell. Well, we witnessed yesterday at 9:30 a.m. and then 4:25 p.m., is freaking hell. It's football hell. And let me tell you something else. The Jets and the Giants have been awful for a very long time. In fact, if you go back to 2017, they're a combined 78 and 171. They have the two worst records in the NFL. So I get it that horrible Sundays are not new to us, but I swear to the football gods when I tell you this. There have been about 100 Sundays in which the Jets and Giants have both played since 2017. About 100.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most pathetic, disgusting, unified garbage we have ever seen. And we are going to get to both here in the first 20 minutes of this program. And when we talk to you at 888-808-1019, it's both of these pieces of garbage franchises that we root for that we'll get to. But let's start with this. You score 6 points against the Arizona Cardinals? Six? You can't tackle me right now. I played football on Saturday. True story. First time in my life I played football. 3 o'clock. It was me and five other dads against a bunch of eight-year-olds. And I promise you, I could tackle better than this Jet team.
Well, if you're tackling eight-year-olds, that guy would hope so.
That's a good point. We did play two-hand touch. But there is a play, and I know this because I went to sleep last night and I thought about this play. When Sauce Gardner can't bring down McBride on a 3rd and 7, that was the game. Because think about this for a second. It's 14-6 Arizona. They've scored 2 touchdowns to start this game against this absolutely crappy defense. The Jet offense at least marches down the field, Tiki. They got to settle for field goals, mm-hmm. but at least they get points because Spencer Schrader is halfway competent. And they're about to get off the field with a 3 and out. And Sauce Gardner, who is so beyond overrated, can't tackle McBride. And then what happens? He lets him rumble off at 10 more yards. 6 plays later, they're in the end zone for a touchdown to Marvin Harrison Jr. And instead of it being 14-6, Jet football, here we go, it's 21-6, turn out the lights. That was pathetic. 20 missed tackles and a quarterback who can't get in the end zone.
Yeah,
I hate football.
It's easy to see why you do. My kids, whenever they don't want to do something, you know how that you write UGH and you say it,
Yes.
They say, ugh. Like, it's not ugh. But today, I feel like going, ugh.
Ugh.
For both of our teams, because it was ugly. The Jets were listless for a lot of this game.
How?
I don't know.
How?
It felt like they were listless. The Giants, they weren't listless. I felt like they played with some level of energy, and especially after falling behind 10-0, actually had a chance to be in and win this game.
Sure.
But when you turn the ball over in the red zone, so unlike the Jets on their first couple of drives, you get no points when it matters most. One, an interception, it was tipped up because Daniel Jones thought he could throw it through an individual. That guy's parents were not glassmakers, right? I don't know what you were looking at, Daniel Jones. And then to throw it on the back shoulder of Tyrone Tracy down 3 in the fourth quarter with however many minutes left and resulting in an interception. Now, you still had chances after that, but it just, like, the mistakes. The Giants are mistake prone, and it happens over and over and over again. And then when they're not making mistakes, they don't make opportunities. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about, at least I was talking about, this Giants team, and it feels like there's not enough guys. Now, Tyrone Tracy has become one of these guys, but there's not enough guys that see an opportunity and are like, I'm taking that, right? I'm going 32 yards for a touchdown. I'm splitting that hole. I'm running through that defense. Not enough Giant players are doing that. And it's sometimes it's little things, but a lot of times it's just huge opportunities that they're either not ready for, not aware of, or just can't execute right. So I'm pissed off at the Giants right now because the season's dead, right?
You're deading them?
The season's dead.
Welcome.
It's they're 2-8 and can't win games that maybe I'm not supposed to, but they're on the they're like in the position to win.
Well, they're supposed to win that game yesterday.
Of course they are. They were the favorite for the first time in 30 years or whatever it's out, whatever the stat was.
It felt that way.
Right, but the Giants can't win games when they have the like the opportunity to win it. It's one thing if you're just not good enough. Week one against the Minnesota Vikings, they get the crap beat out of them. Fine. You know what? You're not good enough right now. Mm. The Giants are good enough. They just can't do it. And so, to me, there's an X factor that's not there. Part of it's the quarterback. Some of it was the play calling, even though people will crush that third and short flea flicker. I thought it was an unbelievable call if you just throw the freaking football.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, if the quarterback sees there are two guys open, that could be the play call we're all lauding today.
Agreed. By the way, just throw to one of them.
Right.
They're both open. Just throw to one of
them. The one thing that can't happen on that play call is you can't get sacked.
Because now you're punting.
Right, because when it's third and one from your own 49-yard line, I think Brian Daboll has taught us he's going to go for it.
Take a shot, man.
Yeah, take a shot because he'll go for it on fourth down.
Right.
The one thing that can't happen is you can't get knocked down 8 yards
right.
back
because so
now you're punting.
And so that's my point with the Giants. There are moments like that where you have everything exactly as you wanted, right? Daniel Jones, just throw the football.
Mm.
Stop overthinking it. Oh, this guy's open enough. I don't know. The dig route. The corner was like 8 yards off of Malik Nabers as he's running a dig. There's nobody near him. Wandell Robinson is running Scott ass free away from the safety who's 10 yards away from him. Just throw the freaking football. It drives me insane how the Giants have the opportunities and they don't execute them. The Jets are a different story. Because it feels like half the time they're not playing. It feels like they're just, I don't know, they're lost somewhere.
Well,
I feel so much of this has to go back to what happened after week five. When you fire your head coach and now all of a sudden everybody on that team is on notice. Right? It's not like, hey, we're building something. You know, we could do good this year. And if we just fall short, guess what? Next year we're really going to get them. When you fire your coach that early in the season, you can't help as a player but feel like I'm next, right? Or doesn't matter what I do this year, whoever comes in here next year is not going to want me. It makes it really hard to play hard, if that makes sense.
Mm.
And you see that when you watch them on tape.
And that's tough to accept because you talk about playing hard. That's one of the many things as a Jet fan that disgusts you. They don't play hard.
Hmm.
They don't. I have to hear over and over again, we all do, if you actually subject yourself to these post-game press conferences, we hear, quote, we didn't come out with the right energy.
Right. We weren't ready to play.
How is that possible? How are you not coming out with great energy when you're coming off a win 10 days ago against the Texans? You just had things bounce your way if you're watching football earlier in the day where, wow, all of a sudden your playoff hopes are alive. And you come out and you let the Arizona Cardinals on five or six plays march down the field. I mean, the Jets gave you everything on that first drive defensively. They allowed a huge play to James Conner that was initially called a touchdown. All they did was delay the inevitable.
Right. They ran screens like it was
their job to run screens. And the Jets have never seen a screen before. Like, having that Conner touchdown on that screen reversed into he's down at the 1 yard line, that's purgatory. That's just wait another 2 minutes before he's in the end zone for a touchdown. But you had the big play, a big explosive play on a simple screen. You had the dumb penalty when Kinlaw was offsides. You have no tackling. You had everything. How do you come out if you're a professional football team with these kinds of expectations and with this kind of talent, knowing what's on the line, and you don't have the right energy? How is that possible? So the Jets are just mind-numbing because they have to be better than this, yet they suck week after week. And they not only just suck, they suck the life out of all of us. All of us who want to believe, we're desperate to believe, because this franchise hasn't been in the playoffs since Obama's first administration. And then they suck it out of you the way they did. And you know what? I said to you on Friday, you guys didn't hear it. I'll paraphrase in 10 seconds. I said, you know what? This is the Aaron Rodgers game. This is
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
The Jet offense game. The Cardinals could put points on the board. How about we see the Jets respond?
By the way, the Cardinals did put 31 points. This was exactly what you said.
Yeah, I got that part right.
Aaron's got to outscore him.
And guess what? On the first two drives, he sort of was doing that because they're marching down the field. They didn't even need a third down. They're marching down the field. No problem. Get the help of a big pass interference call. And here come the Jets. And now they're set up at the 11-yard line, and they do nothing. And you've got guys who look like they don't even know each other, let alone miscommunication. I thought Devontae and Adams and Aaron Rodgers sleep in the same bed. I thought they're buddies. It's like they never met each other sometimes on the football field. And so the offense gives you just a little bit of a tease, little bit of a tease. We're marching down the field. We're looking good. We're looking functional. And then Aaron Rodgers throws a football 30 feet behind Devontae Adams. And the defense, how did this defense become so putrid? How did they become so pathetic? How did Sauce Gardner miss a tackle that would have been 2 or 3 yards short of a first down that could have changed the entire game? How does all of that happen? I don't know. All I know is we're forced to watch it, and we are living through a football hell with these two pathetic franchises. You said the Giants are dead? Hey, do you mind if I join in?
Go ahead.
The Jets are dead! And don't tell me if they run the table, they can still make the playoffs. There's no table they're running. We're all just going through tables. There's no table they're running. They go to Arizona, and they get their ass kicked. They make Kyler Murray look like he's the greatest thing. He barely threw an incomplete pass.
Yeah, first pass of the game, incomplete. And then there was one at the end of the first quarter, incomplete. Every other pass was completed. Even the ones that were covered.
Yes. It was disgraceful from top to bottom. So you've got the incompetence. You've got the, we're not even going to be competitive New York Jets. And to me, with the Giants, like, I know late in this game, Giant fans were disgusted and depressed. But my attitude was, you know what? Just escape Germany with a win.
Mm-hmm.
Just find a way.
Even if it was ugly, get a win.
Doesn't matter. Just get a win. And you mentioned it. Daniel Jones continues to commit these awful turnovers and not be able to make the play right in front of you. Commit the sack when you can't have a sack on that flea flicker. And then you put yourself in a spot where when you can't get in the end zone on that final drive, one mistake by a guy who doesn't deserve to be the GOAT in Tyrone Tracy,
right. But
that one simple mistake will kill you. And it kills him. And now you lose to the most pathetic team in the NFL. Oh, wait, you're not the most pathetic team in the NFL, because maybe you are, or maybe the Jets are. Because the Panthers, as bad as they are, they're not as pathetic as the Jets and the Giants at this point.
At least they're on a winning streak.
They might have the best quarterback of the three.
I mean, at this point, they may. And that's the disgraceful thing we're all staring at. I don't know who's more depressed. I don't know who's more disgusted. I put a poll out who had the worst Sunday, and it was like 88% Jet fans. Mm. Maybe it's us because we actually thought better of this. Most Giant fans didn't necessarily think this was going to be a special year. We were naive enough to think that this quarterback and this defense and this roster was going to be special enough to do something that sounds like a science fiction movie, and that's make the postseason.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers is, I don't want to say he's all to blame, because you can't say he's all to blame. There's just too many other things. But Aaron Rodgers needs to be the lifter of this organization, and it hasn't happened.
No!
And so, whose fault is that? Well, where's the blame lie? Does he have another, 7 games of magic in him? And if not, What happens next year? Now, all of a sudden, these massive question marks start happening with this team. Who's coaching this team?
Mm.
Right? Who's still left on this team? Because there's talented players on this team. And the expectation because of Aaron Rodgers made this team feel like it was going to happen just because it was supposed to happen. And it just doesn't work.
Well, I thought it was going to happen because I thought this roster was better than this. I thought that this roster would not allow 406 total yards to the Arizona Cardinals.
But it was better than this. The defense played better than this early. And then you take Olbrick off of his defensive coordinator job because he still is a defensive coordinator.
Well, you stretch him too thin.
And now all of a sudden, things are faltering.
Yeah.
Where they weren't previously faltering.
Well, it's taking somebody and stretching them too thin. You could be the greatest at something. If you're now asked to have another full-time job doing something else while keeping that.
Right. Something you've never done, by the way.
Right. So Jeff Olbrick, and I said this at the time. You know, I know that there was a celebration of getting rid of Robert Saleh. And don't take this as a defense of Robert Saleh. It never was. But the timing and the decision on who should replace Robert Saleh has turned out to be, and this is saying a lot, because the Jets are so pathetic and they've done a lot of dumb things in their history. That decision, though, may be one of the dumbest. Not only do you remove Robert Saleh at the worst possible time, you take Jeff Olbrick, who is wholly unprepared to be an NFL head coach, who, by the way, was coordinating the best aspect of this team, the defense, and you say, go be the head coach. And not only is he not made to be a head coach at this point in his career, the defense has gone backwards.
Right. It's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. So they are... I honestly, and Giant fans, you could feel the same way too. I hate football. Our football teams are causing us to hate this beautiful sport because they've made us think of Sundays as it's like Pavlov's dog, right? What's that theory? You spank the dog every time it eats. It thinks a spank means it's going to be eat.
No, you ring a bell.
You ring the bell. Okay. We're supposed to
you
love...
You ring a bell every time it eats, and then when you ring the bell, it starts salivating.
There you go. Right. I think I must have done something else with somebody else, and that's probably what confused me. But Sundays have now become our personal hell. Sundays are the worst. We used to love Sundays. Mm-hmm. We used to think Sundays were beautiful. And now, if you're a Giant fan, Sundays mean you're going to curse out your head coach, question why you're watching the same quarterback for the last decade and hate the sport that you love. Jet fans, I mean, you just hate everything. You hate your existence. And yesterday, in my humble opinion, and maybe I'm being emotional because it hasn't even been 24 hours, that Sunday, November 10th, 2024, to me will live in history as the worst of the worst. You losers are losing in overtime to the Panthers, and we losers are being non-competitive and scoring 6 freaking points against the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
Name me a worse Sunday than the garbage we just witnessed. I dare you.
There aren't very many. It'd be hard to find a Sunday where this was worse for both teams. I'm trying to think over the years, and I just can't think of it. And maybe it's because, one, the expectation for both of these teams this specific weekend. Forget the season for a second. This weekend, the Giants had to win. It was almost imperative that they win. I know it's a long trip. It's overseas. It's a disrupted week. You're in Germany. Most guys are just kind of like, hey, this is cool. We're in Germany. But you still got a job to do. And they didn't take advantage of their opportunity when they had their job to do. And the Jets just look like they're listless again.
Mm.
And that's not fun to watch at all.
Your call's coming up. Giant fans, Jet fans, we are your therapy. 888-808-1019. Plus, a lot of things to get into. What Dexter Lawrence said after the game and how it could impact the future of Brian Daboll. Are we now officially done with Daniel Jones? And we'll find some positives in this horrible Sunday. Trust me, I tried. We'll let you know if I succeed. It's Evan and Tiki on this very depressing Monday in New York City. We pick up the pieces after an absolutely disturbing, disgusting, embarrassing, pathetic Sunday football in New York. We should be used to it, but sometimes when you hit new rock bottoms, and I think both franchises did yesterday, being used to losing isn't enough. It doesn't comfort you. Because the New York Giants lost a game that they couldn't lose. They lost a game that reopens everything you think about this franchise, everything you think about this head coach and this current administration. It was that bad of a loss. And for the Jets, it's just another kick in the balls. Like, really? They're not only missing the playoffs yet again, they're going to play meaningless football before Thanksgiving.
Right.
How is that possible that we got to this world?
That's what makes it hard, is that you're watching, you're tuning in and not really caring. Mm. And that's that makes it hard as a fan, is when you feel like you don't care about what the outcome is because it doesn't matter anymore. Now, obviously, you want to see growth. If you're the Giants, for instance, I want to see Tyrone Tracy continue to play. I want to see Malik Nabers develop into a star. Hell, Jalen Hyatt actually looked like a competent wide receiver.
Dude, he had more catches yesterday than he had all season long.
I'm telling you. And so, like, there's still some things I want to watch and see and transpire, but they just can't win games.
Well, Tiki, there is one thing before we get to your calls that you do need to answer.
Yes.
A very, very important question at 2:29 on this gorgeous, gorgeous Monday. And we have a very busy show today. The great Joe Beningo joins us in his weekly spot. It's actually moved back a little bit later today. He'll join us at 5 o'clock.
So thank God for drugs.
Adjust your calendars accordingly. I spoke to Joe earlier this morning. Yes, that's all I'll say. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, yeah. What you think? So Joe B. will join us at 5 o'clock. And we've got a lot to get to. You talked about what you're interested in seeing for the remainder of the Giants season.
Uh-huh.
Are you, sir, officially done with the quarterback?
I mean, I don't think he gives you the best chance to win anymore.
Wow. That's saying a lot because both of us have been lockstep that he did give him the best chance to win, and that's why he was out there. So you've moved to the point where Drew Lock, who stinks, and Tommy DeVito, who's a mascot, those guys give them a better chance to win than Daniel Jones?
I don't know, but I want to know. I'd rather know. I'd rather find out. And if you're going to lose anyways, I'd rather find out.
So you're done with DJ?
I think I'm done with DJ.
Say it. Say I'm done with DJ.
I can't say I'm done with DJ because if Drew Lock stinks, which I think he probably does, and Tommy DeVito is a shell of what he showed potential with last year, then DJ gives you the best chance.
Oh, that's right. You're basically saying you reserve the right to Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones. Fair enough. In this moment,
I just
you're done with him.
I want to find out. Like, I need to find out. And I think that's what Giant fans, at 2-8, that's what you're saying to yourself.
Yes.
Why are we continuing to run the same thing over and over and over and over again? You know, he's developed like a hitch in his throw now. Have you noticed this? Right? Before every throw, he's like doing this quick hitch, and it's why he's late all the time. And there was one throw to Wandell. It was on time. It felt like it was on time, but it wasn't. And it got knocked down. And it's like, get the ball out of your hands. And so, like, at this point, I want to know, is he the best option to win games this year? Now, does it matter for making the playoffs and anything like that? No. But I still want to be able to go and watch them and say, all right, they have their best 22 on the field trying to win a football game.
There was an old saying, when you lose Cronkite, you lose America. First it was Tommy. Tommy was the first who said, I don't want to see Daniel Jones. Then Sean's like a flip-flopper, so I don't know when you decided you were done with Daniel Jones. I got there last week. You got there today.
You're dead to me.
And when you lose Tiki Barber, you've lost the Giant fan base. So it's over. It's over for Deesh. It's over. If you're saying he doesn't give them the best chance to win and I need to see something else, then this head coach with his new glasses, which I found sort of obnoxious. That's new, right? The glasses on the nose look?
Maybe he's losing his eyesight.
Is that what it is?
He's of that age.
I don't mean to make fun of his eyesight. I thought it was a Professor Soria kind of look. Oh, like, I'm looking like a professor here.
He's taking a page out of my book. It's November. He's doing Christmas decorations, night before Christmas look.
Maybe. So Tiki Barber is done with Daniel Jones for now. For now. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Ari's in West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks so much for taking the call. Appreciate it.
What's up, man?
You guys know, a long time Giant fan here. So, you know, a lot to say. I'll try to be brief. This is a franchise, guys, that is just absolutely nowhere. You know, Tiki, I still remember your amazing game against Washington. You, I think, 225 yards, right? And a couple of touchdowns. I still remember that game. The point is, guys, since Eli won that second Super Bowl, there have been two moments in Giants history. One is the Odell Beckham Jr. One-handed catch against the Cowboys. And then the other one, and ironically, this is the one that cost us the quarterback in the draft, of course, was the Tommy Cutlets mania when he beat the Packers. You know, in 2 years, it's 8 wins, guys, 8 wins. And 6 of those wins were against teams that were below 500, One win was the other win was the Packers. The other win was against the Eagles, where they quit in the second half. So again, the team is going absolutely nowhere. And my friends and I are having this argument about, do you fire the GM? Do you fire the coach? Do you start all over again? It's just really hard to make an argument to bring these guys back when, again, you're seeing the same things over and over and over again, and the team is going backwards. There's no growth. There's no promise. And the last thing I'll say with the quarterback that I just called so many times, it's enough. It's enough. If you're telling me that Drew Lock is that much worse than Daniel Jones, why is he on the roster? If you're telling me DeVito can't play quarterback, why are these guys on the roster? Like you guys just said, just give me something different. You can't keep running back the same. We know what's going to happen. So it's enough. Thank you for the time, guys. Just a frustrated Giants fan, and I don't know when it's going to get better.
Thank you, Ari.
Appreciate you, Ari.
Daniel Jones has started 69 games in his Giant career. Nice, nice, 69, nice. It's over. It's over because they stink. Right. It's over because they're going nowhere. And it's over because for some reason he's gone backwards.
Yeah, and you know at this point that it's not, he's not the guy for the future of the franchise.
Now, I think we've known that for a few weeks now, well, maybe all year.
You're probably right, but when you go to Germany and you have a game where you have to win, you have to find a way to win it. And it's not all on Daniel Jones, but a lot of it is, especially with the mistakes in the critical junctures of this game. The flea flicker being one, the interception being another in the red zone or just outside of the red zone, and then obviously the penultimate drive, not the last one, but the where he threw the second interception of the game. Like, you can't have that.
And that was the killer, man.
Of course.
Because the Giants just got the ball at the Panther 22. They're all set up because their defense made a big play.
Just keep possession. And kick a field goal if you have to.
Right.
Right? Don't make it desperate so that next possession isn't a desperation one, which they ultimately converted and ended up going into overtime. But like the opportunities are just, when you miss them so often, you can't start just picking and choosing blame. It's got to fall on someone who's in ultimate control. Part of that is a coach, and part of that is Daniel Jones.
Well, okay, so the coach and the GM reopened their future debate by losing this game to Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It is now, to me, not untort or wrong to talk about their future because this season has been so pathetic and so bad that, yeah, they should not be guaranteed a fourth year.
Right.
But here's the thing I'll push back on, and maybe I know this from experience. Firing a coach in the middle of the season or firing a general manager in the middle of the season is just to give fan base blood, and it makes them happy for 24 hours.
Yeah.
Then what? So the idea of firing Brian Daboll today, that's foolish. Talking about firing him at the end of the year, it should absolutely be on the table. The only things that should be on the table in the immediacy is what you can do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the right now is finally changing the quarterback. And we've all gotten here at different paces. Like I mentioned, Tommy wanted to do it in August. Sean, I think, wanted to do it in October. I don't know. I can't keep track.
I feel like Sean was week one, too, by the way.
Was right he? After that Viking game.
Was it week one, too?
He was week one, and I talked him into a month.
That's true.
Then the Seahawks game, I was back in.
Yeah.
Then I was back out.
Yeah, you're all
I did the hokey pokey, and I turned myself about.
You're basically Ross and Rachel on Friends.
Yes.
You're sleeping together, then you hate each other.
Then they're on a break. Yeah.
Right. I was there last week, but at 69 starts in his Giant career, nice. That's clearly in the immediacy the thing you can do.
Right.
Now, what's going to happen after the bye? Honestly, what happens is going to determine if you can bring this coach back.
Yeah. And by the way, we're not going to know anything about the quarterback decision or what any other changes are going to happen until probably a week from now.
They're gonna leave us in the wind now for the next week?
Why would they do it otherwise?
No, you're right.
So
you're right.
We're not going to know anything for a while. It's just something for us to talk about for 2 weeks, which is annoying.
Yes. Eric's in Bayville. What's up, Eric?
What's up is the that I called up about before the beginning of the season, and I said 7 wins, and you guys laughed me off the phone. We'll be lucky to get to 7 wins this year.
You're talking about and the also, Jets? You're talking about the Jets, Eric?
The Jets!
Okay.
Just end the season, Evan. And yeah. Also, you said at the beginning of the show, you go, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Worst head coach in the league. Worst offensive coordinator in the league. 41-year-old quarterback on the heels of an Achilles. Then you fire the worst head coach and put an even worse head coach in there. Then you lose 5 in a row, and we're going to turn it around? Why do people, the Jet fans, are naive? I'm naive. We keep thinking they're going to turn it around.
No, Eric, they are the worst organization in sports. I agree with you about that. It's not that we think they're going to turn it around. It's that we hope they turn it around.
Yes.
It's that when you put your TV on a Sunday, you want to hope. Doesn't mean you think they're going to do it. Never once in the last 10 days after they got that victory against the Texans did I turn a microphone on and say, the New York Jets are going to make the playoffs. I hoped that they would. I laid out the scenario where they could. But none of us actually thought they would. But here's where I'll take issue with you. The New York Jets right now are 26th in the NFL in points scored. Last year, they were 29th. 29th. This year, they are 26th in yards as an offense. Last year, they were 31st. How they have gotten worse with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, with an offensive line that was supposed to be better, with an added tool in the running back chest with Braylon Allen, how they've gotten worse is beyond me. And I'm sorry, if you want to brag that you thought they were going to win seven games, great, have a party. Make a t-shirt that says, I was right that the Jets suck. If that makes you feel better at night, great, I'm happy for you. But I think most of us thought, well, they won seven games last year.
Yes.
The defense should remain competent, even if it's not as good because some of the questionable decisions Joe Douglas made. How can they be equally as bad offensively? And I'm sorry, that stuns me. I'll admit it. It stuns me that going from Zach Wilson and Timmy Boyle and Trevor Siemian to Aaron Rodgers has given you the same, if not worse, results offensively. Yes, I raise my hand. That stuns me.
And I think it stuns everybody because it's the last thing you would have expected. Even as if with a diminished Aaron Rodgers, you'd think that this team, which has a ton of talent on it, it still has talent on it. We're not knocking the talent. Maybe the offensive line, you know, leaves some things to be desired in moments, but there's a ton of skilled position talent on this team. Why aren't they making plays? I'm talking about offensively and defensively. And I keep going back to this. This decision to fire a head coach 5 games into a season when you were playing for first place that weekend in the division, it takes something out of everybody. And I mean, I know I was a part of a team that fired a coach in the middle of a season. Now, Jim Fossil stayed around for the last, whatever it was, 3 or 4 weeks. But it was just like, it's like Walking Dead. Like everybody knew that there were going to be changes. In fact, Wellington Mara basically told us, right? Most of you guys aren't going to be here next year. Now, I don't know if that was said to this Jets team, but just in you intuitively know that. When you fire a coach, there is going to be a lot of change.
But the reaction should have been not, there's going to be a lot of change. It should have been, we better win. We still have a chance. There's still time left on the clock.
Yeah, and I hear
and they've spoiled it.
I hear what you're saying, but it's hard to fight like what you know is inevitable. You know what I mean? And it takes like something really special to flip that and make it not happen. And the Jets don't have it right now.
No, they've got nothing right now. Let's go to Frankie and Beth Page. Good afternoon, Frankie. What's up, Frankie? Frankie going once. Frankie, sorry. Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I've spoken to you guys before about the Giants situation. I think this is, and I'm interested to hear your input on this, I think this is a perfect chance to turn the page from Jones, especially with that clause in the contract. I mean, it's a natural fit for him to kind of just, you know, take a seat and let somebody else. I don't know which guy would be better, but it's a great opportunity for that to happen now. It's kind of a natural transition, and it makes everybody look a little bit better.
Well, it's going into the bye. If you're going to do this, you do it going into the bye week because whoever you're going to give now reps to has 10 days or 12 days to, like, get up to speed, get affiliated with whatever they need to, and it's not happening in, like, a very quick time frame.
Right.
And we had the Colts last week, and 2 weeks ago, the Colts benched Anthony Richardson. And so when we're having these conversations, you know, with the Colts about, like, how that was, he's like, yeah, it was, like, a little awkward, but after a while, it becomes fine. But it's still, like, awkward.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so if the longer time you have to let whoever is now going to play be integrated into what you're doing, the easier it is for everybody.
Well, here's what's,
it's just naturally going to be awkward.
Yeah, the benching of Daniel Jones, and I think it should have come last week, but you're right. We have a bye. It's a little bit easier to do it now. The inevitable benching of Daniel Jones is fascinating. It may be studied in schools 20 years from now because the evolution of why to bench Daniel Jones has changed.
Right.
It initially started with, He's not the future. Screw it. Let's just not play him. Then it turned into the injury guarantee, which is still a thing. Hey, why would you risk playing him? It was one of the cases I made to you a week ago. The best part of Daniel's game is his legs and running RPOs. Well, if you run more RPOs, by the way, they didn't run enough RPOs, in my opinion, on Sunday. But if you run more RPOs, you danger and you put him at risk to getting hurt. And that injury guarantee risks your cap sheet in 2025. So that was another reason. Another reason was, once you're out of it, let's just see what you have in a Tommy DeVito or a Drew Locke. But we've entered a new territory with Daniel Jones. You just said it. He doesn't give them the best chance to win. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Because for all the Daniel Jones discord since 2019, something has fundamentally changed in Daniel Jones. In 2022, they won 9 games. He threw 15 touchdown passes. He led the league in interception percentage. He was a good, solid, competent quarterback. He comes back in 2023. You want to say it was the offensive line? Sure, it probably was. He gets hurt, tears his ACL. He comes back this year. Since Daniel Jones got paid, and I'm sorry, that's the line of demarcation, not to say getting paid was the reason, but since he got paid, since the Giants made the decision to marry Daniel Jones, at least for a couple of years, he's 3-13 with 10 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. He's not the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the numbers. The numbers are obvious. They're easy. But you watch him, and the issues that one had with Daniel Jones as a rookie and in his second year are not even the same issues you have with him today.
Yeah.
He's different.
Right.
He's bad different. And for a guy who's been in the league now for 6 years, you're like, what the hell?
Right. It's like every year there's a de-evolution, evolution, like, mix that's happening. Like, he's changing his game. Sometimes it's for the better. But most times it hasn't been for the better. And so who is he? And I think that's why when you're trying to guess as a coach what he's going to be able to do to help you win games, you're just in a bad spot.
Well, you're at the spot of saying, he doesn't help me win games. I'm done. I don't know how you can be in any other spot when you've got this kind of sample stat size now on the quarterback recently. What he did in 2022 when he had a wonderful season, he's so irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It was a million. It was 16 starts ago.
Right.
16 starts and a torn ACL ago. Like, that's not the guy who's quarterbacking for the New York Giants.
I was going to say 2022, in fact, is actually more relevant to the case for Brian Daboll. You want to talk about keeping a coach or case to make a coach? Everything we know now, the fact that he won 9.5 games with Daniel Jones that year.
Right.
I know this isn't the same Jones, but that's probably more of an indictment on pro Brian Daboll.
That's your defense of Brian Daboll?
Right. Yes.
I want to go back now and watch some of those games from 2022 and see what Daniel is doing or not doing. Right? What he didn't turn the ball over, as you mentioned. He led the league in interception percentage. I mean, turnover percentage.
He threw 5 interceptions the entire year.
Extraordinarily low. He was smart. He had that one early in the season, and Dave screamed at him, and then he really did a good job of taking care of the football. But why was he so good that year?
Ran a lot more than he's running this year.
Yeah, but it's hard to run and coming off an ACL. And he does do it here or there. I mean, he had a rushing touchdown the second week in a row with a rushing touchdown. Like, there's a toughness about him. There's a work hardness about him that you appreciate. And he is one of their captains. But you don't get paid to work hard, right? You don't get paid to be tough. You get paid to win.
And they won a lot of close games that year. And you know what else helped too?
They were all one-score games. That's right.
The defense got some turnovers. This team has not gotten a single interception since week 1.
Oh, cut the crap. They forced a turnover, and then Daniel Jones did what with it?
Evan, I understand.
They forced
a
fumble,
Evan,
and gave him the football at the 22-yard line, and then 3 plays later,
I'm not defending Daniel Jones. I thought he stunk
yesterday.
But
you just said the defense doesn't force turnovers. They forced 2 turnovers,
Evan,
in this game, and they were pretty significant.
They haven't had an interception since week 1. You don't think that's a problem with this team?
Yesterday, your defense forced a turnover.
He's talking in general, though.
I get that.
Sean's talking general, generalization.
Yes, general about what's different about this year.
That's fine. In general terms, you're right. Yesterday, against the pathetic Carolina Panthers, their defense forced one of the more clutch interceptions, or fumbles, I should say. It wasn't an interception, but one of the more clutch fumbles you'll see. 8 minutes to go.
Yeah.
You're trailing in a game, and you gave your offense excellent field position. So I get it. You're speaking in generals. My brain still tells me that Daniel Jones was given the ball at the Carolina 22-yard line down by 3 points, and he turned the ball over.
Yeah.
His response was to throw an interception to Josie Jewell.
Yeah, the last 3 games, these are all one-score games, too. Steelers at Steelers, Commanders, and then now Germany with the Panthers. They have 6 turnovers. Six defense. Turnovers.
They had the big one versus Pittsburgh.
No. The Giants offense has turned the ball over six times.
Mm.
Six times in one score games. That's why you lose.
You're not winning games that way. And you can talk about the defense all you want. Yesterday, their offense and the missed opportunities were why they didn't beat the Carolina Panthers. Were you even angry yesterday? You seem so calm today. You're like the calmest guy I ran into today.
Didn't I stress this on Friday? I'm angry in real time watching the game. But the Giants have made me and plenty other fans apathetic in the half an hour after you cool down after
took
a loss.
Took you a half hour to cool down?
That's it.
Good for you.
Because again, I'm back jealous. To the spot where this sucks. I don't want the coach getting fired. But in April, I'm going to look back and be happy they lost to the Carolina Panthers.
I give you credit for cooling down after 30 minutes. I'm still pissed about the Jets. You know what I need? I need Nets Pelicans tonight. That'll calm me down. Until then, I'm still angry about my football team. Anthony in Newburgh. What's up, Anthony? Hello, Anthony. Anthony? Mm. All right, Anthony, you're gone. Let's go to Joe in Milford. What's up, Joe?
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Terrible. Thanks.
I want to invite you to the House of Pain that I'm in. So it's the Brotherhood of Pain. I'm a lifelong Raiders fan, so my football seasons are usually over before Major League Baseball season's over.
Yeah,
you know, the problem is, you know, you take, and I'll make you guys feel better now. So you take my team from Oakland, you bring them to Vegas, that's great. You build a $1.8 billion stadium. We have the highest ticket prices in all of the NFL. It's not even close.
Right.
Every game we go to, it's, you know, $300 minimum for a ticket. Hotel rooms get doubled, so you're paying $600 a night for a hotel room. You're always outnumbered. We're always the visiting team, no matter who. The Panthers outdraw us. It's ridiculous because it's a very transient population.
Joe, I feel bad for you, but my heart only has room to have so much compassion today. I have compassion for my fellow Jet fans, and believe it or not, I have compassion for Giant fans, because all they've watched for the most part outside of the fart in the wind 2022 season is crap as well. So everything you said is valid, and I want to give you a hug, but not today. Because today, I don't care about you. Today, I care about us. Today, I look around at our football misery, and while you have your own football misery, and I do respect that deep in my soul, but my heart is not big enough to have compassion for you two. I'm sorry. Lee's on Long Island. What's up, Lee?
Gentlemen, first things first, I just want to give a quick shout-out to all the veterans that have served and are serving. And I just want to say thank you for their sacrifice and everything, especially today on Veterans Day. That's
Veterans Day is a day that should be celebrated every day, because everything we do is because of those brave men and women that fight for us and our rights and our country. So thank you for saying that.
Well
Lee.
Said, Lee.
Appreciate it.
And if there are any World War II veterans out there, they should know they're probably able to run faster than Aaron Rodgers. that's another thing, by the way. So I have two quick points I want to make. One is, and I told you so to Evan, a couple weeks ago, and I told you weeks ago that you have to get it through your head that Aaron Rodgers is a bad quarterback. And you weren't ready to go there yet. It sounds like you're ready to go there.
I'm closer. Right now, you know where I am before you continue, Lee? I'm at the point where he's clearly not the same guy, and I think he's an average to slightly below average quarterback. Am I at bad
yet? Which is where I said he was.
By the way, you're right, and I'll take the L. I hate having this L because I wanted this guy so badly on my football team. I was delusional enough to think that this mercenary bastard was actually going to work for our football team, and it's been probably a bigger failure than any of the other mercenaries. So congratulations, I'm an idiot.
No, it's not just that. It's also the Devontae Adams thing when I said don't trade for him, and you said, well, you have to go all in. He makes the team better. And I thought he was putting a Band-Aid on an axe wound, which is what I said. And I look at the team, and I'm telling you right now, Devontae Adams does not make them better. That's just...
Well, okay, so let me answer this. You still needed to give it every last shot in your breath to make this mess work.
True.
You needed to. Has it worked? No. No one's going to deny that. And that draft pick, you know, it sucks. You wish you had it. By the way, Mike Williams, how's he doing? I don't want to make that trade, but thank God we got a fifth-round pick. Meanwhile, he's dancing in the end zone, winning a game for the Steelers.
Scored as many points as the Jets yesterday.
No, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Just give me a stat.
Yeah, 7-6. I got you. Thank you. Well, 6-6.
That's why I said as many. See, Captain Obvious, you didn't get it right.
Technically, he doesn't get the extra point, even though he kind of deserves the extra point. But I still think, and this is part of trying to be honest, it's like looking back at the other past mercenary mistakes one team has made. You have to be honest with what you needed to do in the moment. Like, I don't regret trading for Aaron Rodgers. I don't. As much as I'm killing him today, I mean, it was the right thing to do. My thinking on it was clear.
Right.
It just hasn't worked.
Of course not. I mean, and again, it's not all Aaron Rodgers' fault because he got hurt. He's an older player. He gets hurt. It happens. But when he came back, I think the assumption that he would be perfectly okay was the fallacy. That was where I think most of us were mistaken. We just assumed that he would revert right back to Aaron Rodgers, and it just hasn't happened.
It has not.
His mobility is compromised. You see it.
Yeah.
Right? The fourth down non-conversion, fourth and three, he actually does a good job of escaping the pocket, and he just can't, like, get a farther enough away from the pursuit from behind, and as he tries to make a pass, he gets hit and the ball knocked out of his hands. You know, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, he just runs into the end zone.
Yeah.
He just can't do those things anymore.
He also has missed open receivers,
mm-hmm.
which he's done, which he did this week, which he did last week. And also, and I'm not sure I should put this all on him, but I will anyway, because he's Aaron Rodgers and he's the leader and he's smarter than everyone else. It seems like he's never on the same page with anybody, whether it's Davante Adams or it's miscommunication with Conklin. There's always miscommunication. How many times are we looking up and Aaron Rodgers has that confused, constipated look?
Yeah.
You should have run there.
Right.
Ooh, Malachi Corley, why are you over there? Now, Malachi Corley's a rookie, and one thing you did teach me mm-hmm. is rookies are dumb and they're idiots. So I have to assume that was Malachi Corley's fault, especially after the incident from 10 days ago.
Right.
But it's constant. Constantly, Aaron Rodgers has that disheveled look of, oh, you're supposed to be there.
Right.
Why are you over here?
On the one scramble that he tried to hit to Corley, you talk about bad throws. Corley was open.
Yeah, it's a bad throw.
Just hit him in between the numbers, and he scores a touchdown. He threw it behind him.
Yeah, he's done that a lot. He's done that an awful lot. More of your calls coming up from angry Giant and Jet fans, and I know there are some Giant fans who want to place Brian Daboll on the hot seat. Well, based on something Dexter Lawrence said after the game yesterday, Dexter may have put him on the hot seat. We'll take a listen to what he had to say, plus your calls at 888-808-1019. Joe B. will join us at 5 o'clock today, so a little bit later. Joe B. at 5 o'clock. Evan and Tiki on this disgusting Monday.